Hey, well, good morning again, and welcome to Life Point Church. How you guys doing this morning? So glad to have you all with us today. Hey, if this is your first time at Life Point Church, we want to say a big welcome to you, and thanks again for joining us. Also, I have to say what's up to everybody who's joining us today online through our live stream, our Facebook Live, our app, and to everybody who's joining us as one of our video services today. We are so thankful to be one church in many places. In fact, last Sunday, we launched our newest video service, our newest video location at Fort Lewis in Seattle, Washington. So we want to give a big shout out to all of you guys and say welcome again. Thank you for being part of Life Point Church, as well as Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio, Texas. Well, hey, my name's Mike Burnett. I get to serve as pastor. And again, I say that for those who are new with us here. Thank you for being a part of our services today. We are in a new series that we're calling Foundations. And the idea of this series is that we would make sure we are building our life on the right pillars, on the right foundations, on the correct foundations that God would have for us. Everything that we are talking about in this series is about laying the right foundations as people of God, people who want to live for God. And foundations of a building are the unseen part of a building. Nobody rolls into a neighborhood admiring the foundations of the houses, right? We drive through neighborhoods admiring the homes that are built up. You don't go to New York City and go underground to look at foundations, but we look up to the buildings in the skyline. But how many of you know there's no height of a building, there's no breadth of a building or strength in a building if there's not first a good foundation? The same is true with trees. The bigger the tree grows, the bigger and wider and deeper the foundation, the root system has to grow. And I believe that this is true for our walk with God. The bigger and the farther and the higher we want to grow in our devotions to God, the deeper our foundations need to be. And so we're looking through this series at the foundation of prayer. Last Sunday, if you missed the message, it was a different way of looking at prayer. It's not just a formulaic way of looking at prayer, but rather looking at prayer as an invitation to the presence of God. Every time you pray, you're coming boldly into the throne room as sons and daughters of God to meet with God, the Lord of your salvation, the God who loves you, the God who wants intimacy and relationship with you. And then Jesus taught us how to pray in the Lord's Prayer. He taught us to pray in a posture of worship, in a posture of adoration and submission first before ever making prayer about petitions or requests. So if you missed last Sunday, I'd encourage you to go grab that. Today, we're going to be looking at the foundation of the church. So I've titled the message today, The Foundation of the Church. Sorry about that. That screen's not correct. We'll just go back to that one for now. Foundation of the Church. Next Sunday, I want to encourage you, do not miss next Sunday. It's the message on the foundation of Scripture and the Bible and why we hold the Bible in such high regard here. How many of you know Jesus, his resurrection, is the central event of human history, and the record of that we have is from the Scripture. The Bible says all of Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for our teaching and correction, training in righteousness, so that the person of God may be well equipped. And so next week, next week, we're going to be looking at the foundation of Scripture. And then finally, the fourth week is the foundation of God's mission. Jesus says it like this in Luke chapter 6. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" Isn't that an interesting question to pose to his disciples? To us, in fact. He says, "Why would you call me Lord? Why would you call me Master? Why would you call me Boss?" And double down, Boss, Boss, like Mr. Boss, Super Boss, Lordy, Lord. "Why do you call me those things and not do what I've said? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words," by the way, every time you come to Life Point, you should expect to hear God's word, right? "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them," I'll show you what he's like. I love Jesus, always giving great analogies, right? He's a good storyteller and parable teacher. He said, he's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when, everybody say when, not if, but when, how many of you know February to April in Clarksville is not a matter of if the waters are coming, right? It's when the rain comes. He said, "And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake the house because it was well built." Jesus said, the person who builds their house on a rock has firm foundations. Why don't you do what I say? Why aren't you living? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not obey me? He said, this is like a person who built his house, the person who's walking in obedience and walking with me. This is a person who built his house on a rock. And when life happens, When a bad report from the doctor happens, when your kids act a fool, when your marriage gets on shaky ground, when you lose your job, when sickness occurs, when life happens and it breaks against your life, that person will stand because their house of faith is built on the rock. The rock last week of prayer, the rock this week of church. Church life. Let me just say something. I've known too many people who their lives fall apart because they don't have good foundations. It's not that God's mad at you. It's that streams are coming. It's that floods are real. And God's not mad at you. God's just saying, build your house on me. Build your house on these rocks. Now watch what he says next. But the person who hears what I say and doesn't do what I say is like a person who builds his house on the ground without a foundation. And when the streams, how many of you know, like floods are not, they don't prefer Christians to non-Christians. Or vice versa. They're just streams, like streams flow no matter who lives around them. When the stream broke against it, immediately that house fell, and the ruin of that house was great. When you consider your life as a follower of Jesus, your walk with Christ, your devotion to the Lord, what foundations are in place for you? What does it look like for you to grow deep in prayer, to be full of God's word, to have a deep foundation of commitment to God's church? I'll never forget when Stephanie and I lost everything in an apartment fire, 2004. We'd been married 2 years, happily married, 2 years. And one day, one morning, we woke up and somebody else in the building decided they wanted to have a science lab in their apartment. They decided to break bad a little bit. And everyone in that 24-unit apartment lost everything. When the storms come, I didn't choose for that to happen. I wasn't living in sin and God's curse in my life. Somebody else was being an idiot, and it cost me everything I owned. But there was something about leaning into the church in those days. I remember it was a Saturday morning, and on Sunday morning, I was on staff at a church. I had to lead the choir. I mean, no, that's a crazy day to lead a song. You know, I'm like, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I lost everything. Come on, sing. You know, like, I just remember, oh, raise your hands with me, church. You know, like, that's a hard day to lead a choir song, you know what I'm saying? But I'll tell you what happened that day. The church came around my wife and me in a way that, like, I just can't explain how the church just enveloped our lives, came around us. In fact, my pastor, they took up the morning tithes and offerings, and then he sat me down, because that's when I always sang the special song, right, during the giving talk. And he sits me down, and he comes back to the congregation, and he said, hey, I don't know if you heard this or not, but our youth pastor, choir director, he and his wife lost everything in a fire, and we're going to help them today rebuild their lives and buy a house. I looked over here and I was like, what? I was trying to find an apartment. He goes, no, man, you ain't dealing with drug addicts again. Like, let's get you a house. And he said, if you've ever been stingy before, now's not the time. We're going to take another offering, and we're going to help them. And they gave a $14,000 offering that morning to help us rebuild our lives. That's the foundation of the church. I don't understand going through storms without a family. I don't understand going through life, going through hell, going through a breakup. I don't understand going through sickness without the body of Christ. I don't understand that. And today's about leaning into the foundation, the pillar stone of the family of God that wants to come around you. God has designed, it is the ordained plan of God that we belong to this thing called the church. It's one of the foundation pillars for the people of God to have in their life. Not only should you just have a robust prayer life and read your Bible, but you should belong to a family of people that can come around you when the storms arise. And know that we have a family, we have people to lean into. Just the other night, I'm in a hospital doing a visit for a guy going through a second round of open heart surgery. I don't understand going through that alone. And he says, I'm so thankful for the prayers of my church. I feel that. So today, we're looking at one of my favorite foundations. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to rant a little bit and brag on you guys because I just love the local church. But what does it look like for you and me to really go all in this foundation? By the way, let me encourage you, don't just build foundations halfway down. Dig them deep and build them all the way. When we talk about prayer, go all in and start your prayer life, start building that up. Today, we're gonna talk about the foundation of the church. And let me just tell you, by the end of this message, I'm gonna challenge every one of you to go all in with your church. Don't just believe that's a good idea. Jesus said, anyone who comes to me and hears from me and doesn't do what I say, how many of you know it's not just enough to hear and know and believe the right things? We got to live out these things that we hear and know and believe. So let me just rant about you for a minute. I love the local church. I believe the local church is the only hope of the world. Not government, not politics, not nations. The local church is the hope of the world. I believe the local church is the hope of this city. I believe the plan of God is that the local church should be the fullest expression of God's love, God's plan, God's will, God's heart, God's hope for all people. I didn't design it. I simply get to be a part of it. I believe the local church alone has the message of eternal life and hope for all humanity. Every other faith system teaches that we work our way to God. But the church and Christianity preaches that God has worked his way to us, and through Jesus Christ, we now belong to this family and this relational network called the body of Christ, called the church. We don't earn it. We're not good enough to make our way to God. God was good enough to make his way to us, and he did it through the person of Jesus. I believe that God is perfect and that church is not. People say churches are full of hypocrites. I know. Church is full of judgmental hypocrites. They don't like, yes, and there's room for more. Somebody said once, well, I heard people say church is full of hypocrites, and their response was, no, we ain't full yet. We got room for you. God is perfect. His church is not. We're not called to be perfect. We're called to be connected to the one who's perfect. You know that passage where it says, be holy for I'm holy, the implication there, especially for the New Testament, is be connected to the Holy One. You'll be becoming holy and made better as you get connected to the one who's holy. But look, you're not called to be perfect. You're just called to be attached. Amen. We're called to be connected. And listen, as long as people belong to the church, it ain't perfect. Man, I grieve at times when I hear people who reject God because his people have wounded him. Can I just say to you, please don't hold God accountable for the failings of his people. Amen. We're not perfect. We're not meant to be perfect. He's perfect, we're not. I used to say it like this, God's good and people aren't. But man, I'm better than I used to be. As long as people belong to the church, we'll have our issues. I also believe that we're called to be salt and light. That's what Jesus said. We are the salt of the world. That means we're causing a thirst in others. We're to be the light of the world. That means we shine so bright on Jesus that we compel others to live for God. The Bible says in Ephesians 3 that it's through the church that the manifold wisdom of God is now to be made known. It's through who? The church. Is it through the pastor? Is it through Jesus? Can we just read this together? Through the church. Is it through Jesus? He's already done his job. Now we do our job. You understand? It's through the church now that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known. I believe the church is not a building. This is just steel and drywall. Trust me, I was here when they built it. There are some really crass parts of this building. There's leaks. If this building were sacred, I promise you it would stop leaking. This building isn't holy. Can I get an amen, Brother Randy? Come on, man. I believe the church is not a building. Listen to me. I believe the church is not a denomination. Amen. I believe the church is not a style. It ain't blue lights and smoke or stained glass and hymnals. I believe the church is people who belong to Jesus. It's not 100-year-old traditions or modern accoutrements. The church is not where we gather. The church is who is gathering when we gather. I believe the church is you and me. We believe that the church does not exist for us. LifePoint Church is not about you. It's about Jesus and reaching people far from Christ. We say it like this. It's on the wall right outside this door. We believe the church does not exist for us, but we believe we are the church and we exist to reach this world. Amen. If you've given your life to Jesus, hear me. If you have given your life to Jesus, you are the church. And together, we have many people to reach for Jesus. No other faith system believes this. This is why Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And then he goes, I'm out. I'm going to the right hand of the Father to pray for you. Now be the church. I could go on and on about the church. I love the church. I've committed my life to the church, working to serve the church. As we continue, I want to unpack some of those statements that I've shared with you. But let me first help us with an understanding a theological understanding of what the church is. Understanding the church, not the background of LifePoint necessarily. By the way, you can get the background and the history of our church in our Growth Track class. I want to encourage every one of you to go through our Growth Track. That's our membership, how to get onboarded into the membership in the body of this church. Even though the background of this church is interesting, let me talk about the background of the church, capital C. It's a New Testament phenomenon. It's not a part of the story of God's people throughout the Old Testament, but that's what leads us to the New Testament. We saw throughout the Old Testament a people of God who wandered for years while learning to trust him, but when they always existed, they always existed around this idea of geography. Wherever they gathered, they hoped God would show up too. In the desert, they were wandering and looking forward to this promised land, right? They always connected it to geography. Once they were in that land, they would establish certain parts of the land as sacred spaces, a land flowing with milk and honey. They'd meet God in physical locations, whether that be altars or tabernacles, synagogues or temples. Then God himself said, I'm going to choose to dwell in holy places. I was just reading in the one-year Bible this week in Leviticus, in the Ark of the Covenant, in the holy places. God said, I will choose to dwell in that place. But then Jesus came. And the full expression of God himself came to dwell among us and to inaugurate a new system for the people of God. First of all, they no longer would be bound because of race, no longer bound because of nationality or ethnicity, but because of a common belief in Jesus as Lord God, that he died for the forgiveness of sin and rose again and ascended to the right hand of the Father. Listen, we now become bound as a people in faith. In that newly inaugurated system, Jesus would begin to use language like the church. He's the one that introduced the word church. And we're going to see that text in just a minute. He would call us his bride. He'd give instruction on how to live and how to be this new people of God. This is where the word church actually comes from. We have this word ekklesia. Everybody say ekklesia. This is the Greek word for church, actually. And it comes from two words, ek, which means out, and kaleo, which means the called. So when you belong to Jesus, you become the people who are the ones called out. We're the called out ones. That's what it means to actually be the church. Church does not mean building. Church doesn't mean steeple. Church doesn't mean Baptist or Pentecostal or Presbyterian or Catholic. Church means the called out people, called out from the world. Listen to this. We're called out from the system of the world, from the system of sin, from the system of darkness, and we're called out unto live for Christ. So to be the church means you've committed your life to Jesus. It means you've committed yourself to him and you are the called out ones. We're called out by God and from the system or pattern of this world, from a life in the flesh, a life of selfishness and our own lordship. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord and not do what I say? If we're going to belong to Jesus, we're called out from that place and into fellowship with Christ. So in our understanding of the church, let me give you some primary thoughts about this. The church is local and global all at the same time. Isn't that great? We belong to a faith system that is thousands of years old. We belong to the same church as the Apostle Paul. We belong to the same church system and family as people in other countries around the world, throughout Asia, the Middle East, throughout Africa, South America, all around. We are a global family that's not racially bound, it's not ethnically bound, it's not geographically bound. We are a global family. But we also have local expression. By the way, the churches of the New Testament were not divided denominationally. They were simply divided geographically, but they were all one church. The letters, like, for example, all the letters of the New Testament were written to the letters in those cities or in those countries, right? And so, like, all the churches of Clarksville, for example, should all be one church. And we're just sharing letters. That's why I just send my sermon to all these other preachers. I'm like, here, man, just take my sermons, do what you want. But it's global and it's local. It's corporate at its root, but it's never intended to be a lone ranger faith. Listen, I don't know how you can say you're a follower of Christ and not be a belonger to his church. Because the nature of this ecclesia is we are the called out ones. We're the called out people. We're the called out group. It's the ordained divine plan of God for evangelizing the world, for discipling people to be devoted to Jesus. This is the place where true worshipers worship God, because we worship God as Father, Son, and Spirit. If you remember a couple weeks ago, we saw in the creation account in Genesis chapter 1, God is Trinitarian. God is Father, Son, Spirit always from the very beginning of all time. The church is the divine plan of God for fellowship and relationship of believers. The church is the divine plan for works of compassion and ministry. James would say that we are to care for the widow and the orphan and those who are in need. If we see someone that's thirsty, we give them something to drink. If we see somebody who's naked, we give them some clothes. Praise God. Amen, everybody. The church is the source of doctrine and theology and worship. By the way, I think the church has lost its voice in some of the doctrinal stuff. We got to reclaim that. We got to get back into Scripture. The church is the ordained plan for godly living, correction, training in righteousness, rebuking, spiritual and numerical growth. There's no organism in the world like the church. I believe with all my heart that the church is the hope of the world. Somebody said it like this: we are a global force for good. And no organization is like the church in that it can mobilize people worldwide immediately through prayer, through action. Listen, every time catastrophes happen around the world, man, the church gets engaged. And it's not hard to recruit. You just send out the word to God's people, and we just know, like, we're called to this world. Can I hear a big amen from anybody? Being part of the church is an incredible thing. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that we are Christ's ambassadors as though God was making his appeal now through us. You saw it in Ephesians 3. Through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. There's no greater force for good on the earth. Now, what does that mean for us? There are some devotions of belonging to the church. And we see really from the first church established in the book of Acts. By the way, if you go back and read through the letter or the book of Acts, the writing of the Acts of the Apostles, you see this harmony, you see devotion to Jesus, you see devotion to Scripture and devotion to one another. And the things that divided them, listen to this, the things that divided them, they settled quickly. And they didn't let doctrinal disputes or misunderstandings divide their fellowship. If you remember a couple weeks ago, I said, when we let our differences become dividers, then we're wrong for that. Our right beliefs become wrong behaviors. You remember that? And so go read through the book of Acts and just beg God that our city would reflect what we saw in the book of Acts. I hate that the church is so splintered and divided. I don't think it honors God. I don't think he's pleased with that. And some people disagree with me on that, on the whole denominational divide. I just don't see it in the Bible. I don't see Jesus dying more for Baptist folks and less for Presbyterians, or more for Catholics and less for Pentecost. I just don't see that. And I think the things that have divided us, some of us just need to lay that stuff down and be unified again. And so in the book of Acts, amen, in the book of Acts, we see this unified church forming and becoming new. And we have these devotions in the New Testament that I think we should model as well. Go with me to Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42 and following. And this is a famous passage. It's one that I think all of us should commit to memory. I'm just going to read it. It's not on the screen for you today. I want you to hear it. It says, they, the Christians, the new believers in Christ, you got to realize there are thousands of new converts to Jesus because of the first sermon Peter preached in Acts chapter 2. They think people are going crazy. They're like, this is a weird phenomenon. What's the deal? And Peter preaches a message, and thousands come to faith in Jesus in Acts chapter 2, very first sermon of the New Testament after Christ's resurrection. Verse 42, Acts chapter 2, 42, it says, and they devoted themselves. Notice God didn't possess them. Notice God didn't force their devotion. Who devoted? They devoted themselves. And then we have a multiple list of devotions. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread. How many of you know this is a southern church? They like to eat. Come on, somebody. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking bread, and to prayer. And look what happens, verse 43. Awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together. Look at this relational thing. They didn't go Lone Ranger. They didn't go isolate themselves and try to live out their Christianity on their own. It says all of them who believed were together, and they had all things in common. There weren't divisions. There was commonality. There was relational connections. And they were selling even their possessions and belongings and distributing all the proceeds to anybody, all as anyone had need. And look at this. Day by day, they attended the temple together. Man, y'all think going to church once a week is a lot. You know, the average Christian now goes to church, I think it's 1.5 to 2 times a month. Can I just ask you to do better than that? Can I just ask you to, like, be a Christian? Day by day, they went to church, y'all. We ain't even open every day. We close 2 days a week here. But day by day, they went to church. Look at this, together, and here's twice, breaking bread in their homes. Man, they love to eat. This is some Southerners right here. They received their food with glad and generous hearts. Look at this, their devotion to praise God. And here's the result. Look, they had favor with all people. And I'm telling you, I long for the day that the church is seen favorably again with all people. I remember back in the day, and I'm not even that old. Some of y'all are much older than me. Back in the day, it was like, it was a thing to be a part of the church. It was like, there was some respect and there was honor and favor there. Even now, like, there's time when people ask me, maybe it's on a flight or somewhere, they'll ask, like, what do you do? And I go, well, I work for a church. Oh, what do you mean you work for a church? Well, I pastor a church. And then immediately, I've had people just come at me hard with, like, issues they have with the church. But I long for the day that church people are seen with favor. Look what it says, favor with all people. Church, I think if we were devoted to the right things, we would be a favorable people again. Instead, we're devoted to our division. We're devoted to ourself. We're devoted to our power struggles. Let's be devoted. Okay, anyway, I'm going to get off topic there. Look at the devotions here that we have. Devotion to Scripture, the apostles' teaching. All they had was the Bible. That's what they preached and taught. They taught the words of Jesus, which had become Scripture. They taught the Old Testament, which was Scripture, and they're defining through the lens of Jesus. Look at their next devotion. Fellowship with other believers. This is why we encourage you to attend your church and be in a life group. Does it feel like I'm yelling? I feel like my eyebrows are down, and I'm just mad. I'm not mad. I'm so encouraged. I forget to smile sometimes. My wife's like, smile. They were devoted to fellowship with one another. Devotion is like a serious commitment word. This wasn't just an idea that they agreed with. They devoted themselves to it. They were devoted to breaking bread. Man, if you don't have anybody to go to brunch with today, just grab a stranger that doesn't look too strange to you. Say, hey, you want to go to lunch? Brunch? I don't even know you. I know. Let's devote ourselves to breaking bread somewhere. Devotion to prayer. We talked about this last Sunday. Golly, the church has got to be back into a place of prayer. Devoted to generosity. Look what happened. Having all things in common, they even sold their possessions and belongings and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Can you just imagine being a church where none of us had need anymore because we were so devoted to just sharing resource with one another? You know what's happened in our culture? Politics has taken that over. Politics and government has taken over the place of the church to provide for the needs of the people. That's why we have welfare systems. That's why we have all these justice organizations that are actually doing a great work, but it's really the job of the church to take care of the needs of one another. And part of those needs is helping people get back on their feet and get work and provide for their own families. Let me tell you something. When there's a need, we should lean into the church first. But churches are so, like, we've just lost sight of that. This was their devotion, though. Like, what's mine is God's, and so he can do with whatever he wants. Remember, I said this about a year ago, and I've used it with other churches. I am your currency, Lord. Spend me at your pleasure. You know, we have to challenge and drum up the energy and, like, give a sales pitch for us to even bring a tithe to church. They were devoted to, like, 100%. Actually, they gave everything they had away to help care for the needs of one another. That's a different way of doing life. And they were devoted to church attendance, day by day, meeting in the temple and fellowship in homes. They just devoted themselves. And look at the four things that says that happened. Every soul had awe. I mean, that's what we want. We want people in our city to be like in awe of God because of what he's doing through his people. Right, everybody? You ever find a family that you're just so impressed with, you just want to be around them and learn from them? What about the family of God is bringing awe to people's soul towards God? Many wonders and signs being done. Having favor with everybody. And the Lord added daily those who are being saved. I want us to be a church that's so devoted to the things that matter to God that he continues to grow his church here. I'll tell you another thing I almost put in the notes earlier when I was saying, I love the church. I believe the hope, church is the hope of the world. Here's something else I believe. I believe the church can never get too big. Can I say that one more time? I believe the church can never get too big. If anyone struggles with the size of this church, you're struggling with your devotion to the plan of God. Because God wants to add daily people getting saved in churches. Every church should be growing. I don't understand being small and liking that. Like what happened in the New Testament, thousands got saved in the very first sermon, and then every day people were having miracles and having fellowship and having their needs met. And what happened? God was adding people to the church, not only to the church, but to heaven. Every day the Lord added to their number. Say it with me. Daily. This is where I think the gospel has to go with you, because we can't just be having people going to heaven every Sunday. We need to see people getting saved every day. And that's part of you and I living a life of devotion to God and to his church. And people going, wow, that's awesome. And the miracle of life transformation. Man, I'm preaching better than you're shouting. It's cool. I'm amen myself today. You know what I'm saying? Amen, Pastor Mike. Thank you, Mike. So listen, what do we do to advance his church then? Because I believe we're on mission. I believe we're part of the call of God. I believe we're part of the plan of God. And this is where I want to take the theology. Y'all get anything out of this so far? I want to take all that theology. We are the called out ones. We're different from the rest of this world. If you believe in Jesus, you're not supposed to look like this world anymore. You're supposed to look like Jesus. So now what do we do with that? We take all that theology. We look at the devotions of the scripture and how we should devote ourselves to scripture and prayer and fellowship and breaking bread and going to church and see the results of that. People get saved, their lives transformed, awe and favor and all that kind of stuff. And now what do we do about it here? What do we do about it here, whether you're at Fort Lewis or Fort Sam Houston or you're here at Clarksville, North Clarksville? What do we do with that LifePoint Church? Jesus in Matthew chapter 16, I love this passage. This is where he starts talking about the church. And I'm going to read the first two verses and then come together here in verse 15. When Jesus had come into the district of Caesarea Philippi, now he's with his disciples and he'd been doing ministry a couple years, and he asks his disciples, he says, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Who do people say that I am? And his disciples are saying, some think you're John the Baptist, others think you're Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Isn't it kind of neat that they start comparing him to some of the legacy preachers of the Bible, you know? It's better than like villains. Some think you're like Billy the Kid, you know, like they're giving him at least some high praise. And then verse 15, he said, yeah, but who do you say that I am? And these are the people closest to him. These are the 12 disciples, his three best friends, Simon or Peter, James, and John. He said, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter replied. Now, this is really interesting. In Matthew's gospel, he takes note of Peter's original name. You remember when Jesus called Peter, his name was Simon. He was a fisherman. And Jesus is like, no, I don't like that name. I'm going to call you Peter. I mean, that's baller status right there, to just meet a guy very first time and change his name. But Matthew takes note of the old name and the new name. What, this is very, very important. And if you don't read it slow enough, you'll miss this. Simon Peter, old name, new name, worldly name, spiritual name. Born in the flesh, daddy gave him his name, God gave him his name. You ready? Simon Peter said, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the Savior, the healer, the Redeemer. You're the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Now watch. In the ancient culture, to be the son is the heir apparent. You're the replacement of the father. What he's saying is you're God. You're the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, and you're the God. You're God. And Jesus answered him. Remember old name, new name? Y'all with me? Watch this. Blessed are you, Simon, bar Jonah. Bar is Hebrew for son of Jonah. Blessed are you, Simon, old name, son of Jonah, under your father, Simon, Jonah's son, blessed are you, watch this, for flesh and blood, which is where you got your name from your daddy, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, that I'm the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because in your birth order, in your upbringing, in your family of origin, in your tradition, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my father, not your daddy, but my daddy, who is in heaven, has revealed this to you. Now watch this. Blessed are you, Simon. Notice he called him by his birth name. Are y'all seeing this? I mean, I know you're seeing it, but are you seeing it? Like, are you getting it? Okay. Blessed are you, Simon, because your daddy didn't teach you this. But my daddy did. Watch this. And I tell you, you are... Hey, Simon, your daddy didn't tell you this, but my daddy did. This is why I called you Peter. By the way, Peter, the word is Petros, which means what? Rock. Watch this. Simon, your daddy didn't teach you this. Hey, Rock. Not like Dwayne the Rock. Some of y'all waiting on me to do it. He said, blessed are you, Simon. Your daddy didn't teach you this, but I tell you, you are Rock. You are Peter. And on this rock, isn't it interesting that like 3 years ago, Jesus meets Peter, Simon, at a fishing boat and says, I don't like that name. I'm going to call you Peter. And you think Simon's going, why are you going to call me Rock? That's so weird. Because Jesus knew that he'd be the one who got it. And when Jesus said, who do you say that I am? Peter says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, my Father taught you this. These last 3 years have been about shaping you and showing you who I am. And on this rock, I will build, here it is, first time we see it in the New Testament. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you, the church, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in the heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. It would no longer be about a place, but about a people. And at the core of the church is the confession that Peter made. He's not saying, I'm going to build my house, my church on you, Peter. He's not saying, I'm going to build my church here in this location of Jerusalem. No, he's saying on this confession, this statement, what did he say? Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. He goes, that's the rock. That's the confession. That's what I will build my church upon. Look at this. It's no longer about a place. It's no longer about a building. It's about a confession. And when he said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, it's upon this confession that God will build his church. While he's using builder language, he's not talking about literal rocks. He's talking about confession. So the church is not a place. The church is not a building. It's not a brand. It's not a denomination. It is a people who are built upon and joined together by this foundational statement. Listen, church, say it with me. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we are committed as a church to this confession that Jesus Christ is the Lord of this church. Jesus Christ is the Lord of our lives. We're not in charge. How do we say Lord, Lord, and not do what he says? He is the Lord of this house. He is the Lord of this family. We are not. Write this down and look at it later. Ephesians 2:19 says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens. You are saints and members of the household of God. Not a physical location, but a family location built on the foundation of the apostles, the foundation of the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. If you in him, you also are being built together into, listen, in Christ, you are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So listen, the dwelling place is not a physical location, it's a people. And so you become the dwelling place of God. Listen, church, you're the temple, Paul says in 1 Corinthians. Do you not know that your body is the temple, the dwelling place of God? It's not in a building of brick and stone. It's not in a place in Rome or Jerusalem or in the Middle East somewhere. It's not in Nashville. It's not at 1915 Rossview. The dwelling place of God is in the people of God. That's the new covenant. That's the new covenant. We are the church. God chooses to dwell among us. John 14, Jesus said, I have to go back to the Father. I have to go to the right hand of the Father because by the Spirit, I'm going to come and dwell in you and among you. So listen, he's in you when you're alone and he's among us when we gather. This is why it's so important that we gather as a church. Man, I'm preaching better than you're shouting. No, it's fine. I'm doing it myself. I know they got me at Fort Lewis. Y'all just shouting me down over there. I appreciate that so much. I feel it. So I want to challenge you. Be the church that God is all about. Be about advancing the gospel in the church that God is so passionate to build. Listen to me, LifePoint. Go all in to this foundation. You and I don't build God's church. He said, I will build my church. But we are to belong to the church that God is building. I don't build his church, but I belong to the church that God's building. That means we go all in. And here's how we do that here at LifePoint. We see God's plan throughout scripture from the book of Exodus all the way through the end of the scripture, that God has a plan for you to grow through this journey of spiritual growth and family. God desires to attend regularly. Day by day they attended. Be regular on Sundays. Be regular in a life group. And then we pray faithfully. We participate in the advancement of God's church through generous giving. That was the devotion of the New Testament Christians. They were generous. We bring the Lord's tithes and we give offerings beyond that. And we serve faithfully on a team. We serve others. We take care of the needs of this house by serving others. Listen, if you've not completed our growth track, just give me 4 weeks. Come on, give me 4 weeks to take you through what it means to belong here, what the story of our church is all about, and God's plan for you. We want to help you discover, that's your onboard into membership. We want to help you discover how God's built you to belong to this family. Listen to me, I want to say this as clearly as I can. Every one of you has a gift from God for this church. The reason you're here is because God said, I want to gift that church with these gifts. And look, we are a local expression. So is Living Hope. So is First Baptist. So is Grace Community Church. Like, we are a local expression. But the reason you're here is because you are a gift of God to the rest of us. And so we want to invite you to discover what that is through our growth track. So give me 4 weeks. Right after this service, you can go right now after this service. Leave your kids in Kid Point. Come on, we'll watch them for free for another hour. You may be gifted to sing or lead worship, to give. You may be gifted to preach and teach. You may be gifted to prayer, to disciple teenagers, or to run a camera. I don't know what your gift is. God's gifted you to this body. So let us discover what that is. Listen, there was a devotion for the Christians to be about the church that God is building. Final verse is this, Hebrews 10, 24 said, let us consider how to stir up one another. That's what we want to do with you. And for you through growth tracks, through getting on a team, through inviting you to stay engaged. Don't skip church for the next 3 weeks. Don't miss out on a life group. Don't not go all in. Listen, these are foundations for us. Build this foundation firmly, LifePoint. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? He said, belong to this thing. Look, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. That's what we do when we skip out. We're neglecting to meet, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more encouraging one another as you see the day, the end, the return of Jesus drawing near. Can we stand together? Even if you're watching us in the room or watching us online, how many of you say, I got something out of this message today? Anybody? Man, I love the local church and I love you. I'm so thankful for the church that God is building here and in all of our locations, but also at every church expression that God is building here. I want to ask you this question. I asked you at the beginning of the message, what foundations are you building in your life as a follower of Christ? Will you build deep a foundation of prayer? Some of us have some foundations that we need to get out and excavate out of our lives. Maybe a foundation of religion, a foundation of unforgiveness or bitterness or pain or entitlement. We need to get some of those foundations out of our lives. And let's build some right foundations, a foundation of prayer, and now a foundation of, you know what? I'm all in with the church. I'm all in because God's all into me. I want to be a part of the church that God's building. Will you dig deep, make some room to let church become a foundational part of your life? Can I hear a big amen, everybody? Come on, let's open our hands. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Here we go. God, we love you so much and thank you for your word. Thank you that it's alive and active, true God. It's still dividing us between soul and spirit, and it's teaching us how to live for you, how to be corrected by you, how to be rebuked and reproved and trained in righteousness, that the son and the woman, the daughter of God, would have a life full of the Spirit. God, we want to be all into what you're into. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ, who gave his life on the cross so that we can have eternal life. We thank you, Lord God, that we don't have to earn our way to you. But Lord, you've earned your way to us, and thus you've created this organization called the church. It's your divine plan. It's your system to see the world reached for Jesus. Now, Lord God, we commit to establishing a new precedent in our lives, that we're going to dig deep and open up for a new set of foundations for us to live for God as the body of Christ. Everybody, would you do this for me? Listen, if you don't belong to Christ, you're not a part of His church if you're not a part of Christ. Now listen, you can be at LifePoint for as long as you want. Anybody is welcome here. But I'm telling you, you need to belong to Jesus. So I want to invite you, if you don't know Christ, if you've not surrendered to Jesus, maybe you're saying, I don't know that I have all my questions answered yet. I don't know that I've got Him all figured out. Listen, I'm the pastor of this church and I don't either. You're not meant to know Him fully until we are with Him for eternity. But do you know enough to believe that Christ died for you so that you can live for Him? And I want to invite you to just start this in a simple prayer. I'm going to lead you in that prayer. We're going to do it corporately together, standing together, and then we're going to close out our time together in worship. And if you pray this with me before you leave here, just take a moment and fill out that connection card in the seat back in front of you and just tell us so we can celebrate with you. But come on, everybody's eyes are closed right now. I just want to know, am I praying with anybody at all that says I need to surrender my life to Jesus or recommit my life to Christ? Come on, anybody in here, would you just wave at me? Let me know. Amen. Come on. Everybody do this for me. Pray this. Mean it from the bottom of your heart. Everybody in the room, say, God, I believe. I believe in You. I believe in Jesus, that He died for my sin so that I can live forever with God. Say, I'm ready to go all in with Christ, with His church, in prayer, in the Word, and in worship. Say, I give You my life. I receive Your salvation in Jesus' name. Come on, let's sing this together. Sing, hope has a name, Jesus. Jesus.